Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three, which means it is time to ask Ross. That is Ross Tucker, and I'm Jim Galante. This is where we take your questions for Ross, and the best question wins the KSN polo shirt. If you want to submit a question for Ross, it's really easy. Download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Ross button, or you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. Ross, are you ready?
Always.
All right, let's do this. Matt from State College says, Jaden Blue, the top-ranked running back in the class of 2022, has committed to Texas and opted to forego his senior season of high school football. What advice would you give to a top recruit about playing or sitting out his senior year, and would your advice depend on their position?
Boy, what a great question. And yes, I think it would depend a little bit on the position. I do. You know, I'm going to speak a little bit out of both sides of my mouth here, Jim, okay? This is coming from a guy that played 7 years in the NFL and understands the damage that it does to your body, the wear and tear, and understands the professional side of this thing, the business side of this thing. On the one hand, I would tell you that football is never more fun than it is in high school, and that high school football might be the best non-family experience in my life. So forget my wife and kids, right? There's no better experience I had in my entire life. Better than the NFL, better than college football. You know, if someone said you can go back, I wouldn't go back and play college football. I would go back and play high school football. It's just so pure. It's so special. And maybe that's changed a little bit in certain areas, and I think it has. But, man, I still think about it. I still get chills when I talk about it. And I wouldn't give up my senior year of high school football for anything. Not for anything. I mean, at that point, Jim, when you're 17 or 18, I felt like I had been waiting my whole life for my senior year of high school football. I'm not about to give up what I've been waiting my... By the way, you think it's so long when you're 17 or 18. You're like, I've been waiting my whole life for this. Meanwhile, my wife and I just celebrated our 16th anniversary, so you start to feel really old. But so on the one hand, I would make sure they know, listen, this is, you'll never get this back. You'll never get it back. The flip side, you know, at that position in particular, every time you carry the ball, first of all, you got a bullseye, you got a target on you, and 11 guys are trying to kill you. Secondly, it actually hurts your value a little bit. It's a little less tread on the tires. It's a little more tread on the tires. It's a little bit more wearing down your body. And even recently, you know, Todd Gurley is not the guy he was. You see these guys having very short NFL careers. However, I think skipping senior high school, that feels a little early to me to be thinking about that, right? Like, he might stink. He might not be that great of a college player. You know, I think we can have a different conversation about guys skipping their third year of eligibility in college, or guys sitting out the bowl game or opting out or whatever. I think I would tell him to play. Now, he's able to enroll early and play for the college this year, right?
Well, he's sitting out his senior season of high school and going to work out and prepare himself for college. He's not going to enter in the fall. I don't know if he'll be an early entry in January.
Yeah, that's one of the saddest things I've ever heard. That really, that's really sad. I know he got that advice from somebody, and I understand why he got that advice. I think that's incredibly sad.
It's obviously a business decision, and I understand it, but yeah, it's unfortunate that you have a kid losing. He only has one chance at that senior year of sports in high school. And Ross, I never got to play sports in college, and obviously not at the professional level, but I still run into old teammates from high school sports. I just got actually a text message from an opponent from an opposing school, the rival school from when I was in high school. We still keep in touch. We golf together. We talk about games from high school, which, Ross, believe it or not, for me, that's 40 years ago. And you're right. It was the greatest time ever. The absolute best. He's losing out on that. All right, Ross, let's go to Caleb in Olean, New York, who says, I was watching an old Penn State game against Ohio State from 1997, and it looked like the tackles switched sides several times. What's the strategy behind this, and why is this not used in today's game? P.S., I watched this because of Brandon Short, and you were right. He was a monster. Also, buffalo chicken on pizza is the best.
You know, I don't know that I've ever had buffalo chicken on pizza. Buffalo chicken pizza. I like chicken on pizza, and that buffalo might give it that extra flavor. I need to try that. This is a good question. Go ahead, Jim.
I'll give it a thumbs up. I've had it. I love buffalo wings. I love pizza. Combining the two of them, what could go wrong, Ross?
I like it. I'm happy to hear that. Okay. Fair enough. I need to try some buffalo chicken pizza for sure. Whatever. That's a longer conversation. I was going to say something else. As for Penn State, yeah, they used to have, I think it was called the short tackle and long tackle.
Yes.
Because the short tackle was always to the short side uncovered. The long tackle was always to the strong side with the tight end outside of them. And the idea was guys can really specialize in that scheme and those blocks, right? So the long tackle always had the tight end, was used to having the tight end and working with him, whatever. The short tackle was used to being to the open-ended side. In fact, I had this conversation recently, Jim, fairly recently, within the last year, with Jeff Brubaker, who is the father of Penn State target Ryan Brubaker. I helped Ryan kind of get his recruiting process started a year ago with UMass and UConn and told a bunch of coaches about him. Tremendous young man. Would be a great get for Penn State, by the way. But Jeff started the whole 1988 season for Penn State as the short tackle. And I was talking about, because I said, you played left tackle. He's like, actually, I played short tackle, which means they switch sides. The problem with it is, on some level, it doesn't give away what you're going to do, but you have a menu of runs to the strong side and a menu of runs to the weak side. And so people can be pretty confident about what you might do there. And then more to the point, Jim, it's really hard on the offensive linemen to continue to switch their stance, switch sides. It's not good for pass protection. It puts you in a bad spot when it comes time to pass block. Having to constantly switch sides like that. You're going against different guys. You want to have your other foot back. You don't really get a chance to perfect that craft of being on one side and pass protecting. That's the biggest reason why they don't do it anymore.
Interesting. Again, the question of you know, they did it back then, why not today? You hear that often about different schemes, different things, but it also there's trends over the years. They go from one to another. Who knows? Maybe it'll become trendy again one of these days. Next up, Ross, is Brad from Perkasie, who says, Ross, with you having played in the NFL, I know you're an NFL expert. Which of the current Penn State corners will be drafted in the next 4 years, and which one will go the highest?
Well, I feel like we kind of talked about this last week. Castro Fields will be drafted. Joey Porter Jr. will be drafted. I think there's a decent chance Johnny Dixon gets drafted. I think Kalen King, based on what we're hearing, gets drafted. If he's that, I mean, look, this guy hasn't played a down of college football. I'm already saying he's going to get drafted in the next 4 years. But based on what we're hearing, it certainly seems like there's a pretty good chance of that. I will say, I'm going to say Joey Porter Jr. You know, he's got that length and size that they really, really like. So I'll say Joey Porter Jr. ends up getting drafted the highest out of that group. At 6'2", 195, they love that length. And he's still young and showing improvement. And, you know, Castro Fields, as a fourth-year guy, I don't know that he'll end up getting drafted as high as Joey Porter Jr. will be. So I'll go Joey Porter Jr.
All right, I think that's a good answer. Let's sneak another one in real quick. David from Lakewood Ranch, Florida, says, hey, Jim and Ross, I've got a two-part question for you. If Journey Brown hadn't had the heart issue, what do you think Penn State's final record would have been last year? And two, where would Journey Brown have been drafted? Keep up the great work and save some barbecue for me.
I think their final record would have been probably like 5-4. I don't think that it makes that much of a difference. Maybe one game. Maybe the Indiana game. I don't know. Maybe 6-3. I don't know. Maybe just having his explosive ability and the confidence you get with him. And then I think he would have been a first-round pick. I think he would have had a really good chance to be a first-round pick. There are people that believed that he was the top running back prospect ahead of Najee Harris, ahead of, you know, Travis Etienne coming into the year. So either low first round or high second round.
That would have been impressive for Penn State to have another first-round draft pick in this class. That is it for quarter number three. And Ask Ross, stick around. In quarter number four, we will name our winner, and we'll have Andrew P. Shea returning. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Hey, y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed SmithWorks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, SmithWorks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out SmithWorksUSA.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 SmithWorks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.